Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the World Cup Minute. My name is Josh. Happy to be back, but thank you so much to my good buddy, Dave Wagner-Lowdell, for coming on and appearing. Your good buddy too, Brandon, not just mine. He's a mutual buddy.
Dave is a friend to all, yes. A
friend to all. Thanks, Dave, for coming on the pod. I guess we have maybe one more Sunday night pod, Brandon, before we revert back to, it's like Transformers. You know, we've transformed into this World Cup pod, yeah. And then we're going to transform back into Optimus Prime, which is our normal, always cheating podcast. But
yes.
I think we still have 2 weeks to go before that.
Yeah, we do. And it's been fun doing the World Cup Minutes. Not over yet. And we've got, I guess, two more stacked days until there's a slight break before the quarterfinals. It has been nonstop since the group stage. Which makes for fun. I think we're all ready for a little bit of a break. And I think the takeaway from day 15 is as cliches go, cream rising to the top. There was little doubt left today between England and France that the best teams won. And I mean, I am really looking forward to previewing France-England because I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup given what we've seen from these teams during the tournament.
It just continues to be really like you could hardly build a better tournament in a lab in terms of the excitement of the group stages and then the way these round of 16 matches have gone. They have been a little one-sided. Maybe you'd want a little more drama in some of them, but because their elimination games are sort of inherently interesting. I watched that England game right to the last minute, even though it was pretty much over when that soccer goal went in. And I think that now we get, once you go chalk, you know, as they like to say when it comes to, I don't know if that's I don't think that's an international expression. Basically, it just means things go as they're expected to go, often used for the NCAA basketball tournament. But because of that, now we get these really exciting games. I mean, Netherlands-Brazil, awesome. England, France, awesome. Super excited about
Netherlands, actually, Argentina. We should say
Netherlands, Argentina, of course. Yeah, Brazil plays tomorrow.
I do want to say regarding the drama and the chalk, we have received untold blowback from Aussies, from Socceroos on. And I put the blame on Dave. I think Dave was the one who was truly dismissive of the Australian.
I don't know. I don't. You know, I heard you say some things too.
Oh no! Don't blame me. No. Yeah. I love Australia. Yeah. I love them.
No, I think that we were dismissive early and then gave them lots of credit late, sort of just because we didn't expect them to win. I think they competed well. And yeah, I agree. I want to travel there someday and I don't want an angry mob waiting for me when we get there. But I think that they really played. They played their hearts out this tournament, just like the U.S. I mean, just at some point you run into a team that's just better than you, which is how I've read some articles in the last 24 hours, not to turn this into another US pod, but that made it sound like that match was closer than it was. To me, and I said this on Twitter yesterday, that was a competitive match in the sense that we competed. Like, it was a literal competition between them. Like, that match was never really that close, in my opinion. I think that's fine. It doesn't take anything away from what we showed throughout this tournament. I have to get this out of my system, Brandon, because I had to listen to you guys talk. Please. I couldn't be part of it yesterday.
Let it go. But,
yeah, I mean, to me, there's nothing wrong with running into a team that's better than you, better coached. I mean, for goodness sakes, like Louis van Gaal is his third time managing the Dutch. He's won a Champions League final with Ajax. He's won FA Cups. I mean, you know, he's he has some, there's some criticisms of him that are out there about his sort of style. And, but I mean, he's a brilliant manager, one of the all time greats. And there's nothing wrong with Berhalter being somewhat outmanaged there. That doesn't, I kind of hope that Berhalter doesn't come back. We can have that conversation later. But, I thought just like Australia, just like, and if I could pivot to day 15 now, just like Poland and Senegal, right? I feel like if you make the round of 16 of the World Cup finals, that is a successful World Cup outside of maybe the absolute top Brazil, Argentina, maybe France and England at this point.
Yeah. If you're pegged as a favorite coming into the tournament, that's a disappointment, but a lot of that is driven by the media discussion as the World Cup kicks off and maybe less what's going on in the camp or amongst the fans.
Yeah. So let's get into the matches today. We France, Poland, fairly close early on. Poland had that incredible moment where there were like three point blank shots and just kind of the wrong. Well, I don't know. You can give credit to Lloris or just bad luck on Poland's part. I mean, there was that one. You know the one I'm talking about. That sequence of like 15
I do,
seconds.
And the Polish attacker whose name escapes me. You can see he was in his mind just said the ball is coming to me. My only mission here is to hit it hard and on frame. And he did those two things. Unfortunately, Hugo Lloris was standing exactly. It reminded me of the Belgium match from 2014 where Tim Howard made 16 saves. And then you go back and look at the replays and every shot was drilled directly at him. But I'll credit the goalkeeper's job is to be in that position. So that's fair. I thought it was the best half that Poland, I think, has played the entire World Cup. So that was encouraging to see because I think coming out of the group stage, Poland was kind of sleepwalking. So, and then the Giroud goal goes in, and in the second half, Mbappe turns on the afterburners and just vaporizes the Polish.
Yeah. That second goal from Mbappe is incredible. The way he kind of, I mean, it's top bins, Brandon. This is what I'm always, I've been asking for two things, which is I want the scissor kick off the ground, which we've almost got. And I want those top bin golazos. And do you think that obviously Brazil still plays tomorrow, although Neymar, I think is still expected to be out for that. Is this the tournament now where we can officially say, if it wasn't clear already, that Mbappe is the best player in the world? I mean, it feels like he's so clearly the dominant player right now in this tournament. He's just incredible.
Yeah, Brian Phillips is one of my favorite writers here in the States for tennis and soccer. He posted a meme of Erling Haaland at his desk at home, and it's this guy in an office just like throwing all the papers in his computer off the desk. Because the new Ronaldo-Messi debate is Haaland or Mbappe, and I think it's cool because they are Messi and Ronaldo, like two different, slightly different styles of play. But Mbappe, like his stock is soaring right now as far as the race to be the Ballon d'Or winner and the new best player in the world. And the swagger and the confidence, I think that's what's terrifying if you're England watching that second half and Mbappe. And you look at Berhalter and like today, Gareth Southgate, like the criticism against Southgate is you can't get all of your best attackers onto the pitch. You play a little too pragmatically. In France, it seems like their whole team is attackers. Up front from Giroud, Mbappe, Griezmann, Dembele. Those front four, it's rather alarming. So if they are on the front foot for the rest of the tournament, that's a lot of goals yet to score.
I had the same thought this morning where I was thinking about how Griezmann is like an afterthought in this team. You know, maybe Griezmann isn't quite as great as he was 4 or 5 years ago, but still he's terrific. I'm just really impressed with Giroud. I thought that was really a really nice goal. I just love him. We've talked about this before, but it's just a pleasure watching him in a match. Everything he does is sort of what you want. I don't know. It's like, you know, you get so sick of these one-sided players and then someone like, that's why I like Harry Kane too, honestly. You know, it's just, I just love these big guys who can kind of hold up the ball and create a pass and they don't seem hugely selfish. I mean, Kane, I know, can be a little goal crazy, but he's also willing to set people up for sure.
Yeah. And Giroud to overtake Thierry Henry for the goal scoring record all time for France. And thinking back, 2018, France wins the World Cup. Giroud plays so many minutes and doesn't score a single goal.
Didn't he like not even have a shot on target? I think he it's something like recall. That.
So yeah, yeah. I agree. It's like a pleasure to see him enjoying the fruits of all of his labor over the yeah. course of his career and yeah. getting the plaudits to boot. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that he started all those matches in 2018 just shows how good he is, right? I mean, it wasn't like a Jesus Ferreira situation or something yeah. like that, where he's just anonymous.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So it's just, I really like this team. So you watch that match and you're like, oh man, like whoever wins England, Senegal, they're in big trouble. And then England comes out and it's basically a repeat of the Netherlands US game, right? They give Senegal some possession. And then they have devastating counters and, and then they get the really devastating second goal before the halftime, which is just always such a killer. Mm-hmm. I thought both goals were really nice. The first goal, the Jordan Henderson goal, is like out of like a textbook. Like, this is how you operate a counterattack. I mean, it was just so perfect and really impressive. From
I was really distracted watching the replays of that goal because I couldn't hear anything over the sound of Jude Bellingham's agent buying multiple boats.
Yeah. I know. There's some talk that he is like already agreed to go to Man City. And I'm like, anywhere but there. Like, this team cannot have Bellingham.
Calvin Phillips is like, huh? Fair. Wait, what? I just like bought a house in Manchester. Like, this can't be.
Just move Phillips to Newcastle already. Like, let's hasten this thing.
Bellingham was amazing. I thought the second goal that Kane,
the Foden Kane goal.
Kane goal was, they were all great. And then I guess Saka's, and then maybe
that was a great goal too.
My favorite finish of the three may have been Saka's because it was very much like what Giroud did, like had to catch it in stride and bounce it over the goalkeeper. So yeah, beautiful goals. I feel for the Senegalese because it was a little bit of like you were saying, Josh, a rope-a-dope where Senegal thought they maybe had the game under control for the first 20 minutes and then it was totally out of sight. England will feel much better going into the France match with such a composed performance today.
I think it's incredibly close, that game on Saturday at 2 p.m., just the perfect time. I absolutely am going to be clearing up some space. Space in my stomach, Brandon, because I plan to be drinking while watching that game too. You and I should try to get some kind of New York meetup going for that game. That would be fun. You know, we haven't really done too much of that so far. Just honestly, the relentless pace of the World Cup. Like you said, we need like a day where we're just not watching games to think about. When I'm not watching games, I want to be thinking about future games, Brandon. Games, games, games. Teams, teams, teams. Mm-hmm. World, world, world. Cup, cup, cup. Anyway, so that's where we are with today's games. Really excited about Saturday. We'll talk more about that as we get
to it. One thing we didn't touch upon, which we probably should, because Lewandowski has lots of fans out there. Probably the only notable thing for Poland in that second half. And I guess the only interesting thing I have to say about that is Mark Klattenberg is a referee analyst here and the broadcast on Fox over here in the States. And I can't remember who the color guy was who was like, why is the ref even blowing this foul? We're taking this pen. It's completely moot. Klattenberg comes in and he's like, well, sports betting. This penalty call is crucial because of sports betting. Jeez. So I thought that was wild that crept into the commentary, but there it is.
It's left unspoken. But, yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Well, that brings us to tomorrow's matches. Interesting. You know, there's two games tomorrow. The second one is Brazil, South Korea. I don't want to underestimate South Korea because people have done it. Us included, I'm sure, earlier on in the tournament, and they've shown, I don't know, I mean, it's sort of, you know, they've shown enough to make it to the round of 16, and Sun really stepped up, obviously, late at the end of that match, and so, but I think ultimately that does feel like the match where talent wins out. Brazil also rested a bunch of their players going into that third match, and so it's a really strong, well-rested yeah. side. It's kind of the problem that the U.S. had in that Netherlands game is they just don't have the depth, right? Yep. And so those guys were getting real Jedi in particular, right? Yeah. Real leggy near the end of that.
Yeah, when your whole game, like, yeah, Jedi Robinson is to run, your yeah. legs can definitely leave you playing, you know, every other day or thereabouts. I do wonder... It is a little bit of a banana peel for Brazil because I think the thing that has defined South Korea in this tournament is work rate with a certain level of elegance to it. Yeah. And Brazil, like their samba footballing culture it's a little bit more chilled out. And I see it. It could be a really interesting matchup. And if South Korea can hold Brazil for a half, I think it could be very tense. But
yeah,
that's maybe kind of wishful thinking because yeah, like the bigger part of my brain would say, well, Brazil will just win out.
You know, I mean, they did lose that third game, right? Or was it Cameroon who beat them 1-0 a few days ago? Yep. And so you know, we'll see. I think that, but South Korea have a chance. I mean, if they got this far, they've got a chance. Looks like, by the way, Neymar is expected to return for tomorrow's match. So that certainly gives Brazil kind of an extra edge. But certainly looking forward to that one. And the morning match is the one that is a real, it's what I call the puncher's chance match, Brandon, of the round of 16. It's basically, I'd say it's, I don't know, maybe Croatia's a 55% favorite in this match. It's super close.
1-0 really to either team, if not extra time, feels like the call here.
This does feel like this could be the first extra time match of the of the tournament so far. It feels like it really could set up that way. You could see both teams scoring. But I mean, Japan, just their style is sort of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting. Croatia. I don't know if that Croatia is necessarily a team that plans to like hog the ball. So, I'm sort of tactically, I think it'll be interesting to see what we see. Like, will they sort of try like this kind of countering style, or do they change their system a little bit when they're less of a? I mean, what we've seen was how they play against, you know, Germany and Spain, and those teams are super ball dominant. They're gonna, you know, it's Japan sort of by necessity is going to be countering, but that isn't necessarily as much the case. Even with some of the talent that you have in Croatia, so Japan may have more of the ball, and that may change their setup a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well put. I don't really know what else to expect or anticipate beyond that. Yeah. I think that to state the obvious, Luka Modric, this could be viewed as his last World Cup match, and he still has magic in his boots. He's played fairly well for Croatia throughout the tournament.
Yeah,
it could just turn out to be a game that Modric decides to take over. We'll see. I mean, they've got good people out wide for Modric to deliver to. So interesting to see. I feel like all the talk about Berhalter versus Van Gaal is got me looking more acutely at managerial tactics in upcoming matches. So I guess tactically, not necessarily player for player, I'm interested to see how Japan-Croatia plays out.
I think that's right. I feel like I did read more tactical analysis after that U.S. match than I had kind of throughout the World Cup. And I think it's just the relentless pace of the games. It was sort of just keeping up on what was happening was the trick. I think even as someone who's not creating any kind of content, just as someone who wants to follow and stay on top of what these matches are like, it's basically just like, who's healthy? What are the stakes? Who has to win? You know? And then, so we'll see what happens tomorrow with that match. I'm really looking forward to it. My assumption would be that Croatia just pulls it out mainly because Modric is, even at his slightly advanced age, younger than me, you know, but the Modric will be the best player on the pitch, and that will perhaps be enough for them to win. But I think it's a really exciting game, and I'm looking forward to both them. And I think that's, Brandon, this, are we actually going to do a World Cup minute under 20 minutes? This is incredible.
Let's get out while we still can, Josh.
Yeah, let's get out while we can. All right, we'll see you guys back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching if you're watching us on YouTube. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.